We are on the threshold of a new year, 2020, 2020. And for most of us, that means reflecting on the previous year, what went right, what went wrong, and then making a game plan for the next coming year. So I'd like to help you today prep for an outstanding Catholic year. We're going to talk about liturgy and theology and scripture and health and all that, and setting proper goals. Now, you might be kind of turned off by that or resolutions, but it's a great time to rethink what you do on a daily basis, a weekly basis, a monthly basis, and a yearly basis, and also look at the reason why most, if not, well, not all, but most goals, most New Year's resolutions fail, they say, within the first 21 days. And I'd like to take a look at why that is and how you can fix that before we jump in to the more Catholic stuff. As I said last year, the key to making proper goals, and I really do think you should make goals because if we're Catholics, if we're Thomists, we realize that everything about our lives is teleological. There's a telos, there's a final causality, and everything that we do in this life is supposed to point us to that final goalpost, the finish line. And for us as Catholics, it is the beatific vision. It's to be a partaker of the divine nature. So that's the goal. So everything we do on a hourly, daily, weekly, monthly basis, and annual basis should point us to that final goal. So goals are embedded in Catholic life. We are a habituated people. We even say that grace is habitual. Sanctifying grace is habitual grace. The virtues are habits. Everything that we're doing is habitual. And goals are what helps us find that final causality and execute the habit. So, in order to have a proper goal, it has to be a SMART goal, SMART. I went through this last year, but it's worth repeating again. First of all, it must be specific. You can't say, I'm going to lose weight or I'm going to be healthy. That's not specific. You can't, know if you're progressing on it, which leads us to the next one, M, measurable. Is it specific and can you measure it? So, I want to be more healthy is generic, it's not specific, and you can't measure it. What does that mean to be more healthy in January as opposed to being more healthy in March or June? Not good. So what you should say is, I want to decrease my body fat percentage by 10%, or I want to lose on the scale in my bathroom between now and March 30th, 9 pounds. And that way, as the weeks go on, am I gaining, am I losing, or am I staying the same? The next one on SMART goals is A, it must be attainable. You have to be able to do it. So if you were 100 pounds overweight and you said, I'm going to lose 90 pounds in 3 months, that's not going to happen. You shouldn't make that goal. If you say, I want to, be an NBA player by the end of the year and you're short and not athletic, that's not an attainable goal. So you need to find a goal that you can hit. R, it needs to be relevant, realistic, results based. All right, something relevant to your life. Again, trying to, be a PGA professional. If you're not a really awesome golfer as is, it's probably not going to happen. And then the fifth one, and this is the one that people miss the most, it must be time bound. There must be an end date to every single goal. So if you say, I want to be a black belt in jiu-jitsu, I want to do that in 11 years. Right now, I'm a blue belt, so I have this many more years. That's a time-bound goal, so you can check yourself and measure it, going back to M, along the way. Okay, so anything you do this year needs to take in those five elements in order for it to be a successful goal. Otherwise, it's not going to be meaningful. You're not going to measure it. You're going to forget about it. There's going to be no way to hold yourself accountable. All right, so what I'd like to do is suggest some things for serious Catholics, people who want to be serious disciples of Jesus Christ and take their faith to the next level and be confident Catholics. Another thing that you can do, this is something that Joy and I do, and people might think it's cheesy, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway because it might be helpful. And that is, we create an Excel sheet and we have our dreams on this Excel sheet and we divide them into three categories. We have having, these are things that we want to get. Doing, these are things that we want to start doing. And then being, these are characteristics, qualities that we want to be as a married couple, as parents, and as just persons, as Christians. So having could be, you know, you look at the next year, either with yourself or your family or your spouse, and you say, I would like by the end of the year to have a new minivan. What goals, SMART goals, S-M-A-R-T, can we set up for that to happen? Or I would like to get my dress shoes resold. It's not an expensive thing. In fact, it's good stewardship. Don't buy new shoes. Just get your old shoes resold. That's a very easy one, you know. Or I would like to have a new mantilla for mass. Or I would like to have new patio furniture. I don't know what it is. Whatever it is in your life that you need, this is having. And Joy and I have found over time that these are the ones that are least important to us, having stuff. It's important. We need things in this life. We need tools. You know, so maybe you need a new computer for work. Put that on there. But the really important ones are the doing and then the being. So examples of doing would be, okay, I want to be doing, practicing the rosary every day for 2020. I want to do First Fridays in 2020, 9 consecutive First Fridays. I want to do First Saturdays, 5 consecutive First Saturdays, going to Mass and confession and doing those devotions. Or, you know, maybe it's, I want to, one of my goals is to be an author, a first-time author. So you say, I want to write 300 words a day or write 15 minutes every single day. That's something that you do, doing. I want to run a total of 15 miles a week. That's doing. And then the last one, and like I said, which is the most important, and that is being. You know, maybe it is, I want to be a parent, have my first child. I want to be married. I want to be a priest or a religious. I want to, I mentioned before, be an author. These are the really big ones. And these are, as my dad used to tell me as a kid, every major success in life is the accumulation of thousands of smaller good decisions. So you don't just, you know, become a successful grandparent after, you know, 50 years or more. That's not random. That was literally tens of thousands of good decisions that led up to that moment of being. And so I think these are the most important ones. You ask, who do I want to be? And, you know, of course, be a saint. But maybe, you know, more attainable things along the way. And this will help you set up, what do I need to do? And then if necessary, what do I need to have? For example, if you want to be a first-time author, well, you're probably going to need a computer. So if you don't have that, you'd put on having. And then doing, you would say, I want to write 300 words a day, or write 15 minutes a day, or, you know, finish a chapter every month. And then that would lead you to be the author. Okay, so now I want to go through some Catholic traditional things that you may need to have, do, or be during 2020. And this is, you know, take what you want, leave what you don't want. I'm going to begin with a calendar. So I have two calendars here. I hope I do. Yes. Everyone's been asking me, Marshall, you keep mentioning the calendar you use. What is it? Where do I find it? So the calendar that I use for 2019 is this calendar. It's called the All Saints Roman Catholic Calendar. And I purchased it from St. Gertrude the Great in Ohio, which, by the way, is a Sede Vacantist church. Now, let me give some clarifications here. I am not a Sede Vacantist. However, I enjoy the Father Lassant's Daily Roman Missal. This is the missal that I use. And I've done a whole video of it on here on YouTube. What is the best Latin Mass missal? And this is the one that I think is the best. And it's based on the books of 1945. So it has the old pre-55 Holy Week in this book. So if you're using this book, and there are some differences on the rubrics of the calendar of the year. So if you're using this book, you need a calendar that also does the pre-55 rubrics. And that's why I use this calendar from St. Gertrude the Great, because it matches up with the missal that I like to use. Now, if you're using the 1962 books, For example, the Angeles Press missile, the Fraternity of St. Peter's missile. Those missiles, which I use as well, but I just prefer the Father Lassance. I really recommend the Angeles Press calendar. This is the 2020 calendar. It's gorgeous, really high quality, as you can see. And what I like about both calendars, here's how it looks. Thank you, Angeles Press, for sending this to me for free. And I've used their stuff before, so it's not like I'm doing this because they sent it to me. I'm not getting anything from it. I just like it. As you'll see on both calendars, right over here are the fishes. That tells you on these fasting days, is it obligatory fasting abstinence, traditional abstinence, traditional day of fasting and abstinence, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of great details here. Way to go, Angeles Press. All the traditional saints' days, according to the 1962 books, it's in the great art. And it's sturdy. We hang this, this is hanging in our kitchen right now because I haven't got St. Gertrude the Great. So I haven't got my new, I ordered three of these for 2020. This is the 19. This one as well, which follows the 1945, also has some pretty nice art. It's not as stunning as the Angelus one. And it also has fishes in here, but this just follows the 1945. There's not the traditional options that the Angelus has. Both of them are great. Can't go wrong. If you just want an easy one, I would say right now get that Angelus Press one and you're good to go. So you need a good calendar. You have to keep time. We Catholics have rhythms. We have saints' days. If you have children, you should be celebrating your children's saints' days. So if you have a Jude on the Feast of St. Jude, y'all should have his favorite meal or maybe some ice cream or cupcakes or something. And you're not going to remember any of that stuff unless you have one of these calendars, a traditional calendar, hanging next to the stove or next to the refrigerator, on the refrigerator, and you look at it every day. And it becomes a custom. You say, oh, today is such and such day. Wonderful. Oh, next week is this is coming up. We need to prepare for that. Or, oh my goodness, Advent is only 3 weeks away. This is what you need to prep for the. I just can't stress this enough. This will change the way you live your life. So the ones I recommend, Angelus Press. I'm not getting any commissions on this, folks. Angelus Press, beautiful. And this is called the All Saints Roman Catholic Calendar. I bought it from St. Gertrude the Great, which is a set of a contest church. Maybe you have qualms not wanting to support that. I don't know. I just wanted one that matched the 45. And this is the one that I found. And this is the one I've used all of 2019. Every single day, this is what I've been consulting. And I love it. And there's little notes on it. Okay, so calendar. The other thing that you should think about doing for 2020 is read the whole Bible in 1 year. Every Christian should read the Bible. It's not that hard. You know, the Bible is, you know, depending on which version you have, 2,000 pages long. What, you know, that's nowadays, that's not much at all. Now, I know a lot of us don't read like we used to because of social media and internet. That's bad. It's another reason to get a printed Bible and read it. I nowadays only read the Douay Rheims. This is the traditional classic English version that's been around since the early 1600s. Up until really the 1940s and 50s, all Catholics were using the Douay Rheims. It's a beautiful translation. It follows the Latin Vulgate. I can't stress enough how good it is. You know, I know early on in my writing career, writing in books, I would use sometimes the RSV Catholic edition. Early on, I was also using the Douay Rheims, but I wish I'd always used the Douay Rheims. It's just absolutely a wonderful translation, beautiful, inspiring. And yes, it's a little bit more difficult, but hey, toughen up. Do it. Now, I also have the New St. Thomas Institute How to Read the Bible in 1 Year worksheet. It breaks down the Bible into Old Testament, New Testament, and Psalms for every day of the year. So if you print this out and put it in your Bible and just follow along with a pencil, you'll finish the Bible in 365 days. And I think this year coming up is a leap year, so you get one extra day in case you get behind. So I would encourage you to use that. So many people in the years have written me saying, thank you, I've read the entire Bible. I used your New St. Thomas Institute sheet on how to make my way through the Bible. It was great to have that checklist and just every day mark off those readings as I did them. So if you're in the New St. Thomas Institute, you can get that sheet very easily. And perhaps I can put a link to it as well below this video so you can print it out and on January 1st, get started. Speaking of New St. Thomas Institute, a lot of people, especially Catholics, are like, man, it's hard to read the Bible. Sometimes I don't understand what's going on. I got to Leviticus. I got to Numbers. I'm getting into these prophets. Help me out. So what I've done is I've created in the New St. Thomas Institute two certificates. One is called Christ in the Old Testament. We go through every book of the Bible from Genesis all the way to 1st and 2nd Maccabees, and we explain the Christological, sacramental, and ecclesiological typology of every single book. So in Genesis, we're talking about Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and how all of these stories are incorporated by Christ and the New Testament and the Catholic Church and the liturgy for us to understand it as Catholics. So that's every book of the Bible, me on a screen like this going through and explaining it all to you. So that might be helpful to you. Also, we have the certificate in Catholic New Testament studies where we go through all the books of the New Testament, Matthew through the Apocalypse, and I explain the themes and the theology and everything, especially pertaining to Catholic dogma and doctrine in the pages of the New Testament. So those are two resources. They are very not expensive, very affordable. If you want help, I would be happy to help you. Go to newstthomas.com and you can begin taking either one of those certificates right away today. We've had hundreds of students who have enjoyed that and gotten a lot of help and assistance along the way. Plus there's bonuses and information and all kinds of things. But if you just want to walk through the entire Bible, Old Testament and or New Testament, I've already done it all for you. It's all in the cloud. Just sign up and get started. Another thing people want to do is read the Summa. Thomas Aquinas, Summa Theologiae. They said, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to start in the first part and I'm going to go all the way through it. I got resources for that too. In the New St. Thomas Institute, we have a Catholic philosophy certificate program, and there's a module in there on how to read the Summa. We have a guide on how to do it in 1 year. And then we have an interview with a layman, a buddy of mine, who explains how he was able to read the entire Summa during the year, the difficulties, and how he was able to accomplish that. So if you need encouragement and guidance, also we have all of that for you as well. As you plan the year, I would think about the rhythm. For example, how am I going to do Lent this year? Am I going to do the medieval Lent like we talked about several months ago? Am I going to step it up? Am I going to fast, do a black fast on the Fridays, or maybe do a black fast on Good Friday and Ash Wednesday? Make the plan now. Don't let it creep up on you. That's another good reason to have a calendar, because then you realize, oh my goodness, it's Septuagesima, and that means Lent is just 3 weeks away. I need to get my game plan together. So, also think about next Advent. You can also think about vacations or any time off you're going to take and how that would relate to the Catholic calendar. Yes, you should do this. You should think, you know, okay, well, we don't want to maybe be traveling on the day of the Assumption of Mary or something like that. So just plan out the year accordingly and be intentional about the seasons, especially Lent and Advent and the Holy Days of Obligation. I'd also like to challenge everyone, that's why I have Our Lady here on the screen, I'd like to challenge everyone to pray the rosary daily. If you're not praying the rosary every day, you're not on the team. You must pray the rosary. In 2019, with all the mess in the church, from inside the walls of the Vatican all the way down into the local diocesan and parish structures, we need help. We need grace. We need a mother more than ever. So in 2020, this needs to be a time of Marian devotion, Marian prayer, and the easiest and best way to do that is to pray the rosary every day. Another thing that I recommend, of course, is find yourself good liturgy, traditional liturgy, good priests, good confessors. This is going to strengthen your faith and it's going to give you hope and peace. You're stressed out. You think about what did Pope Francis say last week, or what did your local bishop do or say? Yes, it's going to freak you out if you're not praying the rosary, if you're not living the rhythm. See, all of these things go together. People say, Marshall, how do you report on all this stuff and talk about all these, you know, hard things like in your book Infiltration and still be happy and live a life? That's because it has to be supernatural. You can't just think about all this stuff. It's going to make you depressed. You have to think about the mysteries of the rosary. You have to think about the mystery of Christ's sacrifice in the Mass. This is what gives you the joy that people can't take away from you. No one can take away real joy that's implanted in the soul by the Holy Ghost. So, Rosary Daily, find a traditional Latin Mass. I challenge everybody during Advent, find a Latin Mass, go to the Latin Mass, get good liturgy, get good preaching, get good confessors in the confessional. You can't do this alone. You need a community. You need to be inspired in the Mass, not discouraged and frustrated by liturgical abuse Sunday after Sunday. That just kills me. That just kills me. I can't imagine having to go through that. The Latin Mass, for me, is an oasis of sanity and sanctity. So, rosary, traditional liturgy, and if you can't get traditional Latin Mass, find the Eastern rites. The Eastern Divine Liturgy is just beautiful and glorious. I'm a Roman Rite guy. I prefer the Roman Rite, but if I had to, that's where I'd go, no doubt about it. Think about penance. We mentioned Lent, but you know, do you keep Fridays as meatless? Why you should be doing that. There's no reason that you shouldn't be doing that unless you have some doctor reason. Friday should be penitential. Men, are you fasting for your family? On Friday, maybe not only don't eat meat, but maybe skip breakfast or breakfast and lunch. Be penitential. Make Sundays should be more celebratory and fun and restful and recreational. Friday should be penitential. You should be suffering on Friday. Sometimes I wake up on Friday and go, oh, today's Friday. It's going to be a little bit more difficult today. That's good. And when I wake up on Sunday, I think today's Sunday. Today's going to be a good day. That should be how you enter into those days. Friday, ooh, I'm going to have to be carrying an extra load today with the Lord, carrying the cross with the Lord, but it's going to be a little bit extra. And then Sunday is like, ah, today is my favorite day. That's how it should go. And I'll be honest, Sunday wasn't always my favorite day. It takes a lot of effort and time to plan it out to make sure that Sundays are fun. For example, we've gotten back into it with the kids. Saturday night, come show Dad, me, your shoes, your socks, your underwear, your pants, your tie, your dress, your mantilla, your sports coat. I want to see everything because I'm so sick and tired on Sunday morning of can't find shoes, can't find the tie, can't find whatever. And you do that on Saturday night, goals, plan, reasonable, measurable, and suddenly that's just one less aggravation with eight kids on a Sunday morning. Again, not perfect. I'm just saying, if you want to have joy on a Sunday, you plan. If you want to have penance on a Friday, you plan. You make goals. Same thing with Ember Days. I keep stressing the Ember Days. Four times a year, the Catholic Church prayed for her priests and prayed for holy vocations. Those were the Ember Days. Those were vocational fasting and penance and prayers days. After Vatican II, we said, oh, we don't need that anymore. And we got rid of it. Guess what happened? Vocations went down. Priestly scandals went up. What were we thinking? Why would we stop praying and fasting for priestly vocations, both future and present? I think one of the solutions here is Ember Day. Let's get back to them. Let's pray for priests. Let's pray for good vocations. Now, on a practical level, I think it's very important for men and women, especially if you're married, to be fit mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So maybe you need to make time to take a walk. Maybe you need to eat less. You know, part of fasting is you're just eating less. You're telling your body you don't need the gratification of food on your taste buds, on your insulin or whatever, all the time. You can suffer a little bit, and guess what? You'll lose weight. You'll be healthier. You know, our great-grandparents didn't live like we did with immediate fast food and microwavable food and sugar and cookies and candy and all this stuff all the time. So we need to tell ourselves more and more, no, I'm not going to do that. So maybe part of the next year is you lift weights, you walk, you run, you join a gym, you start some sort of boxing or jiu-jitsu or wrestling or something like that. And then the last thing, and I'll close up with this, is money. Christ our Lord talked about money a lot. And so I think we as Catholics, especially throughout the past year, 2019, have been asking ourselves, what do we do with our tithes and our offerings in the Catholic Church? Who do we give them to? We saw some scandals this past year with Peter Pence, did a show on it. Money that went to Peter Pence ended up helping fund the Elton John movie, which had an immoral scene in it. So Peter Pence, for me, is completely off the table. Zero money is going towards that. The diocesan structures, you know, we've seen these donations going to CCHD, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, did a show with two shows with Michael Hitchborn and Lepanto Institute, showing that this money's going to bad causes, causes related to LMNOP, LGBT, abortion, and other causes, contraception, other causes that are contrary to our morals. So I would say in 2020, you, if you're married with your spouse, if your family, you need to talk about how do we continue to give. It's a precept of the church. You have to support the pastors of the church. But you need to get creative and think about how you're going to do that. It doesn't say, by the way, you have to support the local pastor in your geographic parish. It doesn't say that. So you're supporting the pastors. That's the precept. So maybe that means you're supporting Bishop Schneider. Maybe that means you're supporting Cardinal Burke. Maybe you're supporting a just amazing traditional order of Carmelite sisters. Maybe you know a dynamite, solid Orthodox young man who's in seminary. Maybe you're just supporting him as he moves through seminary and helping him financially. Maybe you're supporting the Fraternity of St. Peter Seminary, or the Society Seminary, or pro-life efforts that are local. I recommend local pro-life efforts so you know what's going on. You can go to their dinners. You can meet the people. Be intentional. Don't throw your money into the generic slush funds that we've seen over the past couple decades. Be very particular with how you're supporting the church and how you're supporting the pastors of the church and who those are. Because we lay people in canon law have zero authority. I don't know if you noticed that. We can't impeach. We can't throw out a bishop or a pope or a cardinal. They're in there. And what we can do is the only check and balance that we have on the system is money, where we put our money. The pope, the cardinals, the bishops, the priests, the deacons, the religious, they all have to have benefactors in order to operate. Without benefactors, it doesn't work. If you read my book, Infiltration, there's that kind of throwaway line. I think it was Marcinkus who said to John Paul II, you can't run the church on Hail Marys. Now, of course, he was corrupt and was doing all sorts of bad stuff with the Vatican Bank. But they know that. They know that they can't just run the whole thing on Hail Marys. They have to pay the light bill, and they have to put guys through seminary, and they have to pay for these things. And that's where we come in. And so we can indicate to them, I no longer trust you or these people in this area because XYZ, and you should be writing them and telling them why they're no longer getting your money. And then refunneling our money to places where we see growth and health and fruit and orthodoxy and the traditional devotions and everything that's feeding us and leading us closer to Jesus Christ. So let's not donate to anything that's ambiguous anymore. In 2020, let's help rebuild the church by directing the funds that God has given us. All the funds we have are from God, but directing a portion of those to build the church in a new way. So there it is. SMART goals. They must be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound. I'd encourage you to make a spreadsheet like the one that Joe and I do. What are you wanting to have? What are you wanting to do? What are you wanting to be? Those three levels. And then really focus on the to be. That's the most important. And then set up your year. Get the calendars, a calendar. I actually recommend, I didn't mention this before, buy two to three. And what you can do is you can put the most important one for us is in the kitchen, because that's where we're always at. One in your kitchen, one in your office, like right here, and then maybe a third one in your bathroom by your sink or by your toilet or wherever you're going to see it. That way, it's always in front of you, but definitely one in the kitchen. So get your calendar, start reading the scriptures every day. If you need help, I got stuff at New St. Thomas Institute for Summa, scripture, church history, whatever it is. And be intentional. Make sure as you do these things, you write them down in a little Moleskine book or on a piece of paper that you tack to your wall. That's what I do here, is I write it on a piece of paper and I tack it to the wall right here. And I look at it and I say, oh wow, I did that. I accomplished it. You celebrate when you get a when you hit a goal. And then you say, oof, I'm 3 months behind on this goal. I need to step it up. So there it is. I hope y'all have a happy and holy New Year 2020. I think it's going to be a great year here on the YouTube channel at Taylor Marshall. Lots of great guests coming up. And I think this year will be different. This is a kind of a little prediction. We had a lot of scandals that came out last year. And I said 2019 is going to be even more scandalous than 2018. And it was, of course. We had financial scandals. We had more stuff come out on McCarrick and certain cardinals. And of course, we had the whole Pachamama incident in October. 2020, hold on to your hats. It'll be more. And I predict that there'll be more, not only moral scandals that come out, but I think 2020 will be the year when we start to see a lot of financial scandals being brought to light in the Catholic Church. Just my hunch. Keep watching. Please subscribe to this channel. If you don't subscribe already, please like it. And also want to thank in a special way all of my patrons on patreon.com/Dr. Taylor Marshall. Y'all have been an immense help this year getting things going and really taking it to another level and doing, you know, at least three shows a week, getting lots of good guests. It's really ramped up. So all the Patreon patrons, thank you. Just sent out another big batch of autographed books, so you'll be getting those soon. And y'all just have a happy and holy new year. I'd like to close up today with the Hail Mary in Latin. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right, guys. Happy New Year. This reminds me of this Latin thing. I just recorded four videos for New St. Thomas Institute in 2020. We'll be doing the history of the Roman Rite and the Latin Mass. Every week, we'll be recording new shows for that. So if you want to do a theology certificate with me on the Roman Rite and the Latin Mass, going through all these things in the Latin, that's also available on newstthomas.com. All right, thanks so much, everybody. God bless you. Happy New Year, and I will likely see you after January 1st to re-begin and keep going on the shows. God bless. Bye.